Yeah, it's good. And one of the biggest things for me personally is, and especially when it comes to the business, is delegating jobs now. So I'd love to go and dig the hole, and I love digging the hole, and I just want to dig the hole. But then my business partner's Kale is like, well, okay, you know how to dig the hole. Let's give that job to someone else, and you can now focus on a new project instead of working in the business. Work on the business. So he's fantastic with that for me, because I know I've got a good work ethic, but it's where to put the energy and time.
John Dutton.
I'm very well, thank you. My pleasure to join you.
Armand Aluwalia.
Thank you so much, Eugenie. This is quite an honor. I appreciate you extending the offer to come here and speak today.
Pedro Diaz-Rudao.
First of all, thanks for having me, and excited, you know, to be part of this podcast.
Ronan Doniger.
Huge. Thank you very much, I suppose, first of all, for having me on your show.
Dean Butchin.
The key point is ask, 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 and never give up.
And welcome to eProcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of eProcast. I'm your host, The Big E, and this is episode 31. And I'm excited to share this one with you guys because I virtually flew to Australia, where I sat down and had an awesome, awesome conversation with Peter Breen, the founder and CEO of Rugby Bricks. Peter is originally from New Zealand, and a couple of years ago, he moved to Australia and launched Rugby Bricks, which is a great manufacturer of rugby tees. So this is their main business model, and Peter will share this more in the episode. This episode is great for young guys and gals out there who have some ideas and want to start a business in this industry. So I hope you will get a lot of value out of our conversation with Peter. And if so, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a rate and a review, and I hope you enjoy it. So my conversation with Peter Breen starts now. Enjoy. All right, everyone. It's time for episode 31 of the eProcast. And if you haven't checked out episode 30, where I shared the experience so far with the podcast, go check it out. And now I'm excited to have alongside me for this episode, Peter Breen, the founder and CEO at Rugby Bricks. I've followed his page and this particular page for a long time. And guys, it's exciting. And I love inviting entrepreneurs in sports business and having conversations with them. So Peter, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time. And I hope it's going to be a good one.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. And it's interesting that you sort of mentioned the number that you're at 31 with the podcast. I think we're slightly ahead. We're at 40.
I think Christian Lefano was 40.
Yes. But yeah, as far as podcasts go, it's amazing when you think back to number one, to kind of where you're at now with how it all comes together and how you question in the discussion. So no, thanks for having me on. Big fan of podcasts and looking forward to chatting through this stuff.
Yeah, and for the listeners, Peter is also the host of Rugby Bricks podcast. So if you can pause this podcast right now and go check it out, subscribe and go have a listen. He's got really awesome athletes and professionals in the industry in rugby. So go check it out and definitely you'll enjoy it. I do. So yeah, let's dive right into it, Peter. Why won't you just share who you are and how you connected your life with sports and particular rugby, and if you also did some other sports than rugby.
Yeah, thanks. So I grew up in New Zealand, which is rugby mad. It's a religion. We all play it. We all grow up watching the All Blacks, staying up late, watching test matches. And so that was kind of where the love for rugby came from. I started my journey down the basketball and cricket. So they were my main two sports, really. So grew up playing those sports. And I think the best thing that I kind of learned was probably just those crossover skills, coordination, vision, gamesmanship, which is really strong in those two sports. And then when I decided to go play with my friends, because that's most of my friends were all playing rugby, especially in New Zealand, I just found that I kind of knew the gist of the game. I was able to get straight into it and really fell in love with the game of rugby. I loved the physical challenge. Having to front up and hold your ground was a real big thing for me and a challenge. And I was always having to work on that. So got into that, loved it, and then got an opportunity to kind of keep following the rugby dream and go to university and chase that, and managed to play 6 years professionally in New Zealand and absolutely loved it. So and I guess the big part of it and kind of how we got to Rugby Bricks is I was coached by some amazing people who had an eye for detail. They helped me grow my game, and I guess I knew kind of early on that I maybe wasn't going to be an All Black and get right to the top of the game. I kind of knew my strengths, but I knew that, hey, I had something to give with coaching players and passing on a lot of that knowledge. So that's why Rugby Bricks was born, yeah.
And you played for Otago in New Zealand. Was it all 6 years there, or you just how you got to play for them professionally? Can you rewind that story?
I really struggled to make the Otago side. The backlog of players in New Zealand is long, and there's not that many spots. And I played club rugby in Dunedin, down the south of New Zealand, for 5 years before I even got a look in. So played there. I probably thought I was better than what I was. As soon as I got into that Otago squad, I learned pretty quick that, hey, I didn't actually understand what the next level was like and how fast it was, how much detail there was. I think the biggest thing in New Zealand rugby that probably doesn't come through on the TV screen is the one-on-one battle. Like, you are making tough tackles, hard to beat people. Like, it's tough. So, yeah, just worked my way in the club scene. My big thing was fitness. I was always fit, and I was ready to go when the opportunity came about, and had four amazing years there. Went up north and played 2 years for Northland and then wrapped it up, yeah.
Getting back to 2017, when Rugby Bricks was born, we'll get now in the professional side. It's the also mission of the podcast to help, you know, youth to get a little bit of what it takes, you know, to be in the industry and so on. How the idea came up to your mind, and was it during your professional career as an athlete, or was it afterwards?
Yes, so it started for my love of basketball. I grew up loving basketball, following basketball, and I think because their sport's been professional for so much longer, it's got to a stage now where the coaches have huge attention to detail. They've been around for years. They understand it. So therefore, like, the cream rises to the top, right? So the people coaching in that game and at the NBA at the top level are just amazing at what they do. There's not too many weak coaches that work their way to the top. You just can't make it. And I was following these basketball pages on social media and Instagram and YouTube, and the way that they delivered their skill videos was just straight to the point. The person in the video didn't explain who they were, who they played for. There wasn't a long list of CV that they were trying to convince you with. They just presented world-class information there and then you could move on and take it or leave it. So there wasn't anything in the rugby space at the stage, and I don't really think it was a part of the culture. It wasn't really looked at. Everyone's kind of just rugby and humble and stay in your lane and don't say much. So I decided to start making videos in my last year of my playing, and just started the journey, made one video, learnt a lot from it. The response was good, and it kind of just really helped me just keep creating, and I haven't really looked back since. It's always been about, if the video is going to help one person, which I'm pretty sure it is, it's worthwhile posting. So that's how it started, and it's continued to grow. And even today I posted a video and I know it's going to help one person. So that's kind of the gist.
I love your mindset. And the last words you mentioned about helping one person, I think this is crucial. Like, posting valuable content. I think it's crucial. And I reminded because yesterday I was watching some of the videos, and also there was a you were on TV, one of the New Zealand channels, and the guy was mentioning Peter Breen, who is a social media influencer or something like this, like when you were still at 80K on Instagram and stuff like this, and it was fun to watch it. But yeah, it's definitely. And if you can share what problem you're solving and what's the business model of Rugby Bricks, I think this will be valuable to the audience.
I think the problem that we're solving is there's a lot of players that make academies, they make rep sides, and they do get really good coaching, but there's a huge population that don't, and they are still very serious about their rugby and improvement and, you know, maybe just that step that they can take to the next level is getting a little bit of content. And that's why we're doing the podcast. It's why we do the videos. So we're kind of having that high level conversation that people can understand, and they can use that day or in the game in the weekend. They're like, Peter was talking about this with his hands placement. I tried it. It worked. I'm a better player straight away. So there's been a lot of those sort of moments that I just wanted to share, and there was an opportunity to share them, and I think that's been the beauty of it, is it's all been free, it's all been take it or leave it, and I love that about Instagram. It's like, if you don't want it, you don't have to follow it. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, which is a really powerful place to be, because if someone doesn't agree with you, it's like, well, you're the one following it. So, but with going back to the business model, I did know that I wanted to sell kicking tees. That was in the back of the brain right from the start. I was a kicker. I loved goal kicking.
And you have even one on your desk. Is it a pen holder?
Yeah, yeah. I'm lucky enough to have a few of them lying around. So I've got four of them here that kind of hold craft nights and pens and whatever.
They have one for your cup of coffee or a cup of tea.
The phone gets put on it every now and then, and charges it. And which is really cool. But yeah, so I knew that kicking tees was where I wanted to go. That is, itself is a ginormous project. But I did know that I wanted to build an audience first, because if you have an audience, it's much easier to sell to an audience than sell to no one. So yeah, that was how it started, really.
Yeah. And you mentioned the kicking tees, and then you also started a new business line or something like this, right? With even on your coaching side, with, you know, can you talk about more about the journal? It's something that I noticed, and how this new business line, or, you know, new business opportunity came up to.
Yeah, it's just such a – people have been using journals and diaries forever, and I had a kicking diary. And I guess because going back to the problem that you're solving, I think when you've played in the game and you kind of have been through all the hours, the issues, the learnings, you kind of understand what can really help other people. And that's why the journal was so useful for me, because I got to a stage where I wasn't – getting better. There was people in front of me, Hayden Parker, a good friend who plays for the Highlanders and Sunwolves. He was the kicker in front of me, and I was like, well, if I'm not as good as him, then I'm never going to get picked. So I just went to work, got myself just an empty journal, and just started recording every session. And what I really quickly found and organized was my kicking technique, the trends, why I was missing, why I was kicking well, and it just keeps storing, and it was just in there. And the best thing that happened was I could fix things fast. So in a session, miss one quick, what's the fix? Bang. In a game, I'm three, you know, three, I've made three kicks. I miss my fourth. What, why? Quick fix. Then I make my fifth kick. Whereas I think in the past, maybe I'd miss three, miss four, miss five, and you just keep missing. So that's why we built the journal. And you will have seen like the 10 pillars of rugby bricks that I've come up with, that any player, any kicking technique that you use, you can go off these 10 pillars and just organize yourself, because when you're organized, you become a lot better and more consistent.
Right. And Peter, when I think of your kind of a business and the way to get in front of the audience, and regarding the content, you chose the educational way, right? Mm. We also know that there's people also doing and businesses are doing the entertainment way.
Yes.
You went through the educational way, and I respect that. I love it. This is, you know, even with the podcast and stuff like that. So you're doing the podcast, different kind of cool videos that are helping the audience. My next question is more about, so you played for Otago, which is not a super rugby team. So it's, you know, it's still, it's professional, but still not at a super rugby level. How hard or how easy was to build that trust between the potential client and yourself? Like, you know, when you don't have a, you know, a high brand or personal brand to leverage, you know, like for example, if for example, Johnny Wilkinson would start to sell his kicking tees, for example.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're asking. So, and I love that you brought up educate or entertain. And I think you're right. There's so many people entertaining. You just look at TikTok, that's entertaining. And it's, I suppose, going back to that thing, like how many people can actually educate within the rugby space and explain things simply, clearly, that you can use straight away. And I think that's the issue, is there's a lot of smart rugby players out there, really good players, but they're actually not able to tell someone else how to do it. They know how to do it themselves, but they can't explain it or coach it into someone else. So I think that's been the biggest value for me. Again, going back to a player can understand if you know what you're talking about. Like, I think there's been a lot of famous swimmers who their coaches couldn't even swim. There's a lot of people know a lot about racehorses, and you know they've never been a horse or a jockey. The information is key. How you present yourself. I think your energy is really contagious, and that's kind of been the key to it all. And I mean, I was in and around the Super Rugby squads. I was pulled into the Highlanders for the sort of 2-3 weeks at a time, the Blues as well. So I knew a lot of those boys, which kind of they knew how keen and interested I was. And Aaron Smith was a big one who kind of, he was like, yeah, mate, you know what you're talking about. So I got a lot of confidence from that. And just to sort of wrap up this point, Wayne Smith, the old All Blacks coach, he sort of mentioned, like, you don't have to be world-class to give a world-class effort. And that's probably something that I am really big on. Like, if I bring world-class effort, the rest will take care.
I love it how you mentioned it, that you don't have to be a world-class athlete too. And you had a really good point that some of the top athletes might not just, might not have the time or might have a different mindset. You never know. But I love the point you brought about the fact that you don't have to be a top athlete to do that.
And a big part of that is I never got it. I was chasing it hard as a player, and I never got the glory. Like, I never got the contract and the free cars and the boots and all the rest of it. So I'm probably a little bit more hungry to get it now as a coach than, you know, maybe some of those players and ex-players. So I do want to just probably mention, I'm so aware of the skill set that comes with coaching: communication, timing, cueing, talking, personalities. Like, that's a whole nother spectrum. And just because maybe you can explain how to teach someone to pass a rugby ball, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can relate to them, build rapport, know when they're down, know when they're up, and really help them as a player. So I'm very aware of that side of things.
Yeah. And how crucial has been, you know, working with big names like, you know, you mentioned Aaron Smith and others, to grow the rugby brick brands, for to grow the you know, the the branding of Rugby Bricks? How crucial was
it? It has been big. I think there's sort of two. We've been, and I've been extremely consistent with content. Like, we've posted 1,500 posts just over in 3 years. So that's a lot of content. And if you're listening to this, think about how many posts you've done in the last week. We've probably done 21, close to 30, and so that's really consistent content, right? And then also you couple that with a video with Aaron Smith explaining something like, yes, it does have an exposure thing and profile and really does help you sort of build, but it's not the be all end all. You can't just sort of have one session and think you're going to fly off it. So, yeah. Our consistency and how relentless we are with what we're doing is the key to it.
You have as a mission or at Rugby Bricks, I saw two sides of it, outwork and outlearn. Yeah, why these two?
Yeah, so with each of the kicking tees, we send out wristbands, and players can wear them and represent it. I think the outwork part is really simple, like, you just got to outwork the competition. And I think sometimes parents and coaches are a little bit soft and tell people, oh, have rest days and don't do too much. And, I think the best players in the world are just, they've just done so many much training. And there's been a sort of time in their lives where they just outwork people. And then, the outlearn part comes in, be hungry for knowledge, become obsessed with your skill. And, I think that's the beauty that we're kind of exposing with the podcast, is how obsessed these top players are when they play, when they prep, when they, like, going back to Aaron Smith again, he could talk passing a ball for 3 days straight because he's done everything there is to do to learn how to do it. And probably just, we all need a little green light in life every now and then, like, just go for it, and someone to say outwork and outlearn. So that's kind of why we live by it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which type of content has been the most ROI positive for you guys? And when, you mentioned, yeah, the Instagram part, which is huge. I think it's the most following there, right? The podcast, which you think is bringing the most value to the audience or getting in front of most eyes and ears, of course.
Yeah, Instagram is the biggest audience. Yeah, you're right. I think it's funny with a goal kicker, it's kind of like a cricketer. So if a cricketer has been batting well and scoring runs with a cricket bat that they like, it's pretty hard to convince them to come and use your new bat. And goal kicking's like that. So our content and our trust, like, without knowing it, we could have been working on a kicker for like a year, like our videos, our posts, our kicking tips, the 10 pillar videos, journals. And then one day they're like, oh, maybe I will try it. That's the beauty of Instagram, because we're constantly in your feed. We're kind of planting that seed, and one day you might purchase from us. Has been the best. And as we've sold more, that means that we get more exposure, the tees out there. So I think that growth has come from the tees getting sent out around the world. Like, we've sold to, I think it's almost 60 countries now the tees have been sold to. So they're everywhere, and we love seeing photos coming in. So
yeah. That's awesome. And you're almost three years into with Rugby Bricks. What have been the biggest challenges that you guys faced on the way, you yourself, your team, and to get to where you are at the moment?
I think one of the big challenges is probably the financial side of things. So we've got 6 kicking tee now and to produce one of those for the mold is about $13,000 NZ. That cost, plus what we're trying to do with the business and employees and setting up. We've kind of got to a stage now where we're almost kind of back to zero with things. So, which is really exciting.
Three years is not, it's not bad. For a
bit. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And one of the biggest things for me personally is, and especially when it comes to the business, is is delegating jobs now. So I'd love to go and dig the hole, and I love digging the hole, and I just want to dig the hole. But then my business partner's Kale is like, well, okay, you know how to dig the hole. Let's give that job to someone else, and you can now focus on a new project and instead of working in the business, work on the business. So he's fantastic with that for me, because I know I've got a good work ethic, but it's where to put the energy and the time. Yeah.
Right. And when we're looking a couple of years from now, are you thinking to enlarge your the product line or something? You have any projects in your mind, or where you see this going?
Yeah. So more of the same with the Kicking Tees. We'd love to really get on top of our distributors. I think worldwide shipping is great, but it is expensive for customers. So we've set up in Japan, South Africa, and the UK now. So we'd love to extend that further and get into other countries. We have launched a new online website called Detail, which is long form episodes. So social media is great, but the information is very scattered. And we've now put together long form episodes that are really well filmed and almost kind of like a masterclass type thing with a downloadable workbook. So that's where the future is for it. And I'm really keen to press on. And with that, that means that we can get line out jumpers, we can get scrum, we can get breakdown experts to present. And I can ask questions and just build knowledge. Yeah.
Have you thought of like personal time with you, like mini groups or something like this, or are you doing this at the moment?
Yeah, I've done a few Zoom calls through Rugby Bricks, but also one thing that's been really popular and done countless numbers of calls now is a club will organize all their kickers or halfbacks and first fives, and we just jump on a Zoom and talk through scenarios and how we can help. So there's definitely a lot of that, which is really fun, and I think that's where the good stuff and where the gold is. You can really help players that way. So
yeah, that's really
COVID's been great. I've been busy during COVID. It's been cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because everyone, you know, even if the games were cancelled, I mean, in New Zealand, I think it was the first country to be COVID-free in. In Australia, there were some like Super Rugby AU, and they played their season, and it was awesome to see to watch. Actually, you know, trainings were not canceled, so everyone was still everyone had to be on their top of the game. So you definitely had a lot of work, Peter. When you're thinking like all your life during your lifetime until now, what has been the top advice you've ever received?
Wow. I think stay in your lane is one that I really, really like, and in a real positive way. I think we work out something we're good at, and then we think, well, I'd like to go and try this, or I'd like to go do that. And, you know, everyone else looking at us is like, you're so good at this thing. Just stay in your lane. Like you'll be really good at it. And that's definitely one thing. You know, thoughts come into all our heads when I was starting out Rugby Bricks, and I was getting, you know, shit from the other boys, like, what is this? This is, you know, just good banter. And you're at 300 followers, you know, of course your brain thinks, oh, maybe I'll just go and do something else. So that's probably been the best advice. Do what you're good at, stay in your lane, and really get after it, especially if it's a passion.
And you mentioned self-awareness is just, I think it's not, you know, giving it a shot.
Yep. 100%.
I love it. And definitely you've been in sports a long time. Do you have a top sporting event or sporting memory of all time that stays on top of your head?
Yeah, it would be rugby. We run a trophy called the Ranfurly Shield in New Zealand, and my province, Otago, hadn't won it for 56 years. And the really cool thing was just the team that kind of got assembled. We went from like 2 years pre that to, you know, almost going under as a union and getting kicked out of the comp to a bunch of us guys who just worked really hard and were all so tight as friends. And then we won this really amazing trophy. So that was definitely the highlight. Yeah.
And I think Peter, this will be really valuable to the listeners, especially for young guys and gals who want to launch a business and, you know, don't know where to go and how to start, or if someone has an idea, a young guy and gal out there in the world, what would be your advice to them? What would be the way to go, or what to do in the early stages with that idea?
You have to find someone who's done it before, or is sort of, someone is always going to be 1 year ahead of you with, it might not be the same product, or it might be something completely different. I had a meeting with a good friend now, and she sold gumboots. It's called Merry People Gumboots. And this was before I really got going with Rugby Bricks. And she kind of just explained things, how to use Shopify, what I need to set up, sort this out on your website, like a Facebook pixel, and just started the ball rolling. And I think when you have a meeting with someone like that, they'll give you like three little tasks that you can do. And then you do those three tasks and then you feel so good about them. And you tell your wife, you tell your family, like, things are rolling. And then you get another three tasks. And before, you know, 2 months down the track, you're sort of meeting up with that same person again, saying, yeah, like, I've done this. And now these are what I'm struggling with. How do I get through this hurdle? So, a lot of us just don't reach out, I think, is it's a hard thing to do, because just like me, I was going to the cafe to chat with Danny, and I didn't really know what questions I should be asking. And you're a little bit nervous, and like
sometimes I have the same thing.
Yeah, you feel out of place. So have a think about, okay, who's a year ahead of me, and how can I have a catch up with them?
Do you think it might be a little bit risky to find the person who's doing the same in the same area? Like, you know, like, for example, you're doing kicking tees and you're going to a company in England who's manufacturing kicking tees as well.
Yeah, I'd probably stay away from such a small niche. Like, there's so many examples of other people. I mean, someone who sold a lot of toothbrushes could help me sell a lot of kicking tees, you know, like, it's the same game.
Absolutely. Peter, I cannot let you go without playing with me the words associations game. So I'll say a name or a word, a combination of words, and you have to tell me the first reaction, first words that come to your mind.
Love it.
All right. So word associations with Peter Breen starts right now. John Olamu.
Unstoppable.
Rugby World Cup 2019.
Disappointing. Do you want one word answers, or do you want a little bit more?
Oh, you can develop that.
Okay, cool. All
right. NBA.
Amazing attention to detail, to skill.
Love it. Aaron Smith.
World's best passer of a rugby ball.
Oh, okay. And last but not least, Ben Ryan.
Incredible at creating a culture to all work together. And also with that, is prepared to give up so much to make it happen.
I love it. Peter, thanks.
I loved having him on the podcast. He was incredible. I don't know if you have had him on. Or
it was a long episode with you also had Ben O'Keefe there, because I'm a rugby referee, so definitely.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so, Ben was incredible, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, if you gotta go check out Peter's podcast, Rugby Bricks, and also the website. If you're into on the market for a kicking tee, go check it out. Go check out Rugby Bricks. I'll make a little bit of advertising here, but so yeah, if you want to improve your passing skills, your kicking skills, I guess you can't find a better place than Rugby Bricks. So definitely go check it out. Peter, thanks a lot for joining and sharing all this awesome insights of yours, you know, your story and Rugby Bricks, how it got launched and how it's going. I appreciate it a lot. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, like personally, as a professional in the industry, as an entrepreneur, maybe someone has any questions, how they can do it?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. It'd be easy to find. Just my name, Peter Breen. You'll see some of our stuff through Rugby Bricks being posted, so it'll be obvious who I am. So reach out through that. But yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. I love chatting through this stuff, and I know how valuable these chats are, and how much people love podcasts and doing the dishes and listening. So
love it. Great. Yeah, so I'll post Peter's details in the episode notes. Peter, thanks a lot again, and stay safe, and good luck with the future endeavors. You're doing a great job, and definitely solving a big problem out there, and helping a lot of players, and you know, not only at the professional level. So thanks for doing that, and stay safe.
No problem at all. Thanks very much for having me on.
This is it for this episode. Please leave a rate and review on the platform you're listening to this podcast. It helps the podcast grow a lot and get in front of more and more people. So I appreciate you a lot, and looking forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace out.